Chapter 3. Bonding. The live stream starts as normal. It's one of the token elements of the Watson channel, a willingness to let their viewers see behind the suspenseful music and carefully timed shots to the real parts of ghost hunting. And the viewers have already begun to trickle in. The shot is dark still, the camera tossed haphazardly on a table with audio muffled by damp wood. "Is it going?" someone asks. Shuffling, shuffling. Bent fingers tumble into frame. "Dadza, is it going?" "Yes, mate." The world shakes as the camera is scooped up. Wilbur's glasses reflect glowing blue lights as he grins. Wild. The audio pops, distorts, and comes into tune. A melody of softly groaning metal, a creak of rain and not quite wind. Wilbur looks at ease in the abandoned building. He looks like he was made to intrude. With the reckless abandon of the lucky. He is oblivious. He is confident. It'll make it all the more fun. "Welcome, chat," Wilbur says clearly. "I hope you're ready to fuck up some demons." Tubbo grins sharply, signaling for Rambu to go ahead with a hum. Oh, if only he knew. He has the live stream pulled up on his computer. Full screen and full brightness as he clicks away on his keyboard, humming cheerily all the while. It's late. It's far too late. But with the blue screen searing into his retinas, he hasn't felt so awake in a long, long time. Adrenaline thrums through his veins, in tune with the crackle of static from his phone, face down on the table. A hesitant voice comes from the speakers.
I don't mean to be rude, but this seems a little, well, awful.
The deal was to cause chaos, big man, Tubbo says. Minimizing the tab, he pulls up the schematics to the building, trying to match it to Wilbur's location. This seems hella chaotic to me.
I guess he's, what's his name, just seems a little aggressive.
Wilbur, relax. He's chill as fuck when he's not on the job. A nervous trill. On the video feed, Wilbur starts to brag about his demon-killing weapons, and... Huh. That must be a new knife. It's rather pretty, with the way the light gleams off the blood-red metal.
He is quite literally on the job, Rambu goes on. I am the job.
Oh yeah. Wilbur pushes open the door, and the camera drops to his feet. Whoops.
And Dadza, you remember the old hospital we went to, yeah? Totally not my fault the matches slipped out of my hand. Old buildings are sensitive, you know. You didn't hear it from me, chat.
There's a brief, horrified pause. I can practically hear your worrying from here, Tubbo snorts. Relax. We're the ones doing the prank here. We have the power. You'll be fine.
Do we have the power, or do you?
Rambu murmurs back. Tubbo blinks, and the wind rattles against the house. The pungent smell of beer. Underscores aren't fucking bitches. He stills. The clicking of his keyboard stops, but he doesn't respond. There isn't anything to say beyond words that haunt his dreams. Here's the plan, he says instead. Wilbur has turned a corner, and he recognizes those stairs. He knows exactly what to do.
Fine, fine, Rambu sighs, and Tubbo pretends it doesn't sting.
The live stream starts as normal, but nothing lasts. Nothing lasts, especially when you've pissed off the wrong fucking people. Tubbo is not one to let things go. Tubbo is not one to let himself be slighted, and as much as he likes the Watsons, that's exactly what they did. They wronged him. They used him. They kicked him from their channel. And so all of this is well deserved.
So this is the hallway where there's been the most paranormal sightings, Wilbur says from the screen.
The history is that some kid died, or was killed. Pushed down those creaky-ass stairs over there. Phil, would you push me down the stairs?
Only when you're being particularly annoying, mate.
Tubbo huffs out a laugh as Wilbur sputters. It's a joke. He knows it is. Tommy's family took him in, looked after him when he was at his lowest. Wilbur held him through his nightmares, strumming a guitar and singing when it all became too much. Phil was there with hot chocolate and a protective streak a mile wide.
If his license to be a foster parent hadn't expired, he would have fostered Tubbo in an instant. Phil said it again and again, and Puffy is amazing, she is. But sometimes Tubbo looks at a family of three and wonders. He dreams. It's silly. Being forgotten shouldn't sting this much. And he tells himself that it's only about the channel. Nothing more. Nothing less. Ghosting fingers over his computer screen, Tubbo clears his throat. Wilbur is walking close to those stairs. It's time. You have the thing, right? He asks and ignores how rough his voice sounds. A staticky hum, and then a loud noise from the computer. What was that? Wilbur says. The camera view spins around. Phil, did you hear that?
I did, mate.
A shadow darts across the screen. Wilbur turns wildly, trying to follow it. The view flips to the ground, revealing his worn boots, a floor littered in debris and dust. There's a set of footsteps from where Wilbur has walked, but also, barely distinguishable in the dark, there's more tracks. Walking down the stairs. Careful, Tubbo murmurs. Static hisses from the stream. Another thump. The darkness seems to move. Phil, Wilbur says slowly, I think there's something here. Phil murmurs something in response, too quiet for the stream to pick up. The chat is going crazy. Tubbo sees messages race by. Demon, Pog? Wilbur Deadark? And he types one of his own. It's only the start, he writes. It's only the start. And he laughs. Something scrapes along the walls, and when Wilbur points the camera towards it, there are jagged lines across the flaking paint. What the fuck? Wilbur says. His voice shakes. From excitement, but there's fear there, too. As much as Wilbur warns Tubbo of getting in over his head, biting off more than he can chew, it's him that's the worst. Wilbur Soot knows no restraint. He was in the hospital for 2 weeks after a beam fell on him, on stable ground. And he still has the audacity to lecture Tubbo, of all people. This was a long time coming. Phase 2, Tubbo says.
Are you sure?
Rambo whispers, in their own language. Tubbo can understand it now, but it still grates oddly against his ears. It still echoes through the building. And Wilbur curses from a barrier of pixels and plastic. Wilbur taking him to the park, poring over books and singing through late lights. And he's the big brother he never had. That he never will have. Because Wilbur has Tommy. The Watsons have no use for damaged goods, for boys that are too mean, too cruel, too much like their father. A fucking course, Tubbo crones out loud. The words are bitter. Let's show this motherfucker who's boss. Rambo sighs, and then, on the screen. Shit! The camera careens, and Wilbur tumbles down the stairs. There's another thump, but Tubbo's not worried. He knows Rambo. That bitch couldn't hurt a fly. He spins on his chair, tapping his fingers. The commotion is echoing through his phone, a second faster than his computer screen. Something curls in his gut. He's not fucking worried. The stream writes itself, and Wilbur's dazed but unharmed face comes into view. Tubbo lets out a breath. There are pieces of plastic in Wilbur's hair, dust trailing up his cheeks. He blinks and then coughs, looking completely dumbfounded. Phil is talking hurriedly, but Wilbur only gapes. Phase 3, Tubbo hisses. Phase 3! There's shuffling from his phone, hurried steps.
I'm going.
Phil, Wilbur says, testing the word like he forgot how to speak. Phil, someone just whispered sorry at me. What the fuck? There's no response but a huff and then a soft coo, as Rambo presumably grabs the last stage of their plan. Wilbur is still rambling, but he's out of it. The chat can tell too, and their earlier concern spirals quickly towards jokes. The camera view sweeps back and forth, from where Wilbur now sits at the bottom of the stairs. There's nothing but musty-looking couches, shattered picture frames, and a flash of movement. There, Wilbur says, and he's scrambling to his feet, pulling out a knife. I told you, Phil, there's the demon. The camera spins wildly, and as it focuses, the thousands of viewers and Tubbo himself get a perfect view of the demon. It's a bunny. A gloomy white and black bunny that Tubbo bought from this pet store this morning. Sitting like a queen amongst the rubble, she gives a hop, and her expression seems distinctly unimpressed. What the fuck? Wilbur says. There's silence for a moment. Then Phil wheezes with laughter, and Tubbo smiles. Tubbo mutters, now. The stream loses service without any more fanfare, and he stretches his arm above his head. See, I told you that you would be fine, he starts to tell the phone. But as he checks, he finds that it's disconnected too. His words taper out, and he's left only with his dark room. With the wheeze of his computer and the shaking of his hands, Rambu is gone. His revenge is fulfilled. Tubbo blinks. The happiness drains. And there's no one. There's no one. So he just goes to bed. Tubbo doesn't see him again until a few days later. Sun presses cruelly into his eyes. An incessant pressure that urges him to wake up, get up, do something. But Tubbo only groans, flopping an arm over his face. He doesn't even need to check the time to know it's too early for this bullshit. He doesn't need to do anything but pull the blankets over his head and go the fuck back to sleep. Because it's the weekend, and he deserves it after the past few days he's had. Tubbo curls further into the warmth of his bed and urges the light to go the hell away. Are you, sorry, but are you gonna get up? Tubbo hisses. Now there's noise to God. Oh, that's very aggressive, Wiggling his other arm free from where it's pinned from his side, he lazily flips the voice off. There's an odd high-pitched whine, as there comes the distinct sound of shuffling feet. The light brightens, and even that seems tentative, alongside the whispered, sorry. Jesus fucking Christ. Not quite. Tubbo finally sits up, squinting blearily. As his vision focuses, he suddenly feels much more awake. Oh, Tubbo says. It's you. Rambu offers him a sheepish wave. His head scrapes Tubbo's ceiling, and he has his other arm wrapped awkwardly around his stomach. His skin is still split down the middle, his eyes still glow as he avoids eye contact. But Tubbo can't bring himself to feel intimidated anymore. Birds chirp outside his window, and the heavy, warm smell of pancakes drift from downstairs. It's Sunday morning. It's early, and Tubbo flops back into bed. And there goes all our progress. Great. Phone, Tubbo mumbles. What? Phone. The phone I lent you for our prank? The one you hung up on me from like a rude motherfucker? Give. Silence stretches. When Tubbo flips around, he sees Rambu with an odd expression on his face. Stop looking at me like that, bitch, Tubbo says. He yawns again. Ender, will you chill for literally 1 second? Incapable, Tubbo mumbles. Rambu throws his hands up in exasperation. They hit the ceiling with a dull thump, scraping claw-like lines along the ceiling. The two of them freeze. Tubbo stares with dead eyes. Sorry, Rambu mouths. But then they're melting into the shadows. Some odd supernatural power of theirs, as footsteps walk up the stairs. Tubbo is forced to sit up again as Puffy knocks, pauses, then opens the door. Her wild white hair is up in a messy bun, and there's pancake mix on her cheek. Wearing an apron and flannel pajama pants, she's a good foster mother. A great one, even. Too good for someone like Tubbo. She leans against the doorframe, and the smell of food is stronger now. Her smile is enough for Tubbo to muster the energy to return the favor. Morning, Puffy. Good morning, she grins. Sorry if I woke you. I thought I heard a noise from up here. Tubbo hums. He forces his eyes away from his fucked up ceiling. He scrambles for a reasonable excuse. Knitting? He winces. Shit. Knitting, Puffy says slowly. Yeah, of course. Knitting. My favorite new hobby. I really like the, yarn and shit. Yep. Puffy stares at him for a long moment before shaking her head. She wipes her hands on her apron, turns back to the door. Whatever you say, kid. Take it up with your therapist if you can't with me. Breakfast will be ready soon, she sings, as she disappears back down the stairs. Tubbo scowls. He doesn't like therapy. They talk him out of so many fun ideas. She seems nice. A voice whispers right next to his ear, and Tubbo shrieks, falling off his bed. Rambo sputters out apologies as he cuts off a groan. Tubbo? A voice yells from downstairs. It's the knitting, he calls back weakly. Puffy silences, completely unimpressed, as he glares daggers at Rambo. Rambo just shrugs, sheepish, from where he's perched on Tubbo's bed.
It's Sunday, he says.
And it's only then that Tubbo remembers the details of their deal. No soul Sunday. How positively thrilling. Let me eat my pancakes first, he sighs, and heaves himself up from the ground. Loaning out your soul turns out to be a particularly odd experience. After Tubbo eats breakfast and gets ready for the day, Rambu is there with an outstretched hand. And then Rambu is there everywhere. And it feels like that in-between place, back when they first made the deal. It feels like opposing colors swirling to one, fire and ice in opposites. And then he's blinking. He's blinking. But Tubbo isn't. And everything is off. Warped and distorted. The world seems brighter, sharper. Just a shade false. What the fuck? Tubbo tries to say. The words don't make it past his lips, and it's wrong. He's panicking, but his heart doesn't beat faster. His breathing stays the same, and it doesn't make sense. Oh, his own fucking voice says. I guess I probably should have warned you. Whoops. His body sheepishly wrings his hands, pushes open the door, and calls a stuttered goodbye to Puffy. She yells to be back by 6, but Tubbo's too busy cursing up a storm to really care. You fucking possessed me, you bitch! Bender, Rambo says, through Tubbo's voice, Tubbo's body. It's just for a day. Or really, not even that. I just have to do one small thing. His body starts to walk. Tubbo bangs his non-existent fists against the fog that shackles him. He's pissed. He's so fucking pissed. Here without the distraction of noises and sensations and project after project, it overwhelms him. And Tubbo screams. The world still looks wrong, and they all leave. A grave, an unplayed song, a phone call, disconnected. It's Sunday morning. He never thinks these things fucking through. Are you good? Rambo asks. Like father, like son, echoes back. They tell him he's better. This anger is the same, though, and it scares him. Fuck, it scares him. And he's not in control of his body, and it still feels like he can't get enough air, and he's angry. He's not supposed to be angry. Oh, Rambo says. And then there's a dark presence nudging his mind. It's cold. Cold like space and frosted metal. His thoughts go abruptly quiet. And then, slowly, another voice trickles in. Should have told him. Should have told. No, not qualified. Humans. What? Ender. No. Oh, no. What the actual fuck? A bit. Just a bit. A second. Sorry. I'll give it back. His presence retreats. His body is still walking, and Rambu is nervously wringing their hands again. Sorry, they say out loud. But that was the coolest fucking thing ever. He didn't know that possession came with mind reading and all that. It makes sense, though. And Tubbo was quick to push back the shakiness and self-loathing in favor of curiosity. Of learning. It's always worked for him before. Ah, Rambo says. No, I didn't mean sorry for that. I meant it about hanging up earlier. I didn't know it would... Well, I didn't know. Tubbo's thoughts falter. Oh. Now that I'm not in mortal danger, it was pretty funny, Rambo goes on. Wilbur made quite the face. Tubbo hesitates. He doesn't know what to do with apologies. He and Tommy normally just leave everything unsaid. Fuck. Fuck. He should apologize back, right? He probably messed up somewhere. There was a little bit of danger, now that he thinks about it. Maybe not as lethal as Rambu thinks, but still enough to warrant a sorry. All right, plan secured.
Thanks, Rambu laughs. And even though it's Toba's voice, he swears it still warps. Echoes with the otherworldly.
Apology accepted. Though it was very deadly, I'll have you know.
Coward, Toba thinks. Rambu sighs.
Got it. Moment over. Moving on.
And they continue to meander. Leaves dancing on the wind. Rambu watches everything with wide eyes. His steps are clumsy, tripping on sidewalk cracks and bumping into people. But sure. Trailing fingers along bricks, signposts, everything he's near. Toba can't find it in himself to complain. Even as dust collects below his nails, as odd looks are shot their way, there is wonder in Rambu's movements. It's nice. Calming, now that he's gotten used to the static. The way his body is a distant dream. The buildings change from sleek, modern things to creaking wood and rusted metal as they continue on. Convenience stores clutter at corners, neon lights and pollution, and Rambu makes an excited noise in the back of his throat. He lived in this part of the city with Shalat. It requires a particular type of confidence. And if Rambu keeps gaping, they're going to get mugged. They shrug. But look, a hand gestures to a graffiti-speckled sign. They're selling toasters for $20. Totally worth the risk. Toba has a toaster at home. He keeps his thought quiet. He lived in the city his entire life, knows it like the back of his hand. It's home. His pride in it has dwindled over the years, but now, well... Toba thinks of the art he's seen on street signs. The storefronts who've offered him a roof and a drink when it's raining. The flowers that grow through slabs of cement. Humanity is fucked. But there is still beauty to the destruction they wrought. Two bitter coffee and a tang of floral smoke. Toba wants to show Rambu. As that dark presence lights up in awe, he wants to show him everything. Toba hums out a startled sound, and with a nudge of coldness... Toba gets that he's happy. And how did they get here? From a silence of terror and red paint to one of images slipping between minds. The wind blows. Somehow, it's nice. It's been a clusterfuck of a week, but against all odds, somehow, that rings true. Rambu slows their pace. The building in front of them is just as crooked, as sketchy as the others with boarded up windows, but he perks up. And Toba mentally does a double take. It's the house Wilbur was at. It's the house where Rambu did their prank. And he pushes open a creaking door without fanfare. It's dark inside, musty. Rambu steps over plaster and the remnants of a broken chair, stumbling inside and to the right. If Tubbo's memory serves, the kitchen is there. And sure enough, dirty tiles soon greet them. A rusted sink and damp and... What the fuck? A whole bunny sits on the corner, curled up asleep, and Rambu makes a ps-ps-ps sound. The bunny rolls over, opening a lazy eye. As Rambu coos, Toba notices the bowl of water set out, a handful of grass, yanked up by the roots. I know you thought Wilbur would take her, but he, didn't. Rambu rocks back on their heels. So I've been taking care of her, and I just... They'll just take her back to the pet store then, problem solved. Rambu cuts himself off. He pulls away from the connection between them, but not before Toba catches something anxious. Something lonely.
I already gave her a name.
He pauses, listening to Tubbo's confusion.
It's Ranbun. Play on words and all that, huh?
And Toba remembers having ghost stories as his only friends, talking to the crickets in the backyard. He remembered what it was like before Tommy, before the Watsons. It's a sad existence when you have only yourself and your thoughts and the smell of alcohol. Toba already knows he won't say no. What the fuck, Toba thinks tiredly. But also what the hell. Rambu chirps, excited, and scoops up Ranbun. She settles comfortably in their arms before going back to sleep.
Cool, yeah, cool. I promise I'll take care of her.
But this time it's Toba reaching out, a curl of warmth in the hiss-pop of explosions. There isn't any particular thought behind it, just memories of empty graveyards and a boy with blonde hair, a wild grin, and strangers that became more. You should try coffee, he tacks onto it. Maybe it's the sleep deprivation, the mind reading, but he wants to try. We should try coffee. Rambu ducks his head, grinning. They don't say anything, but enough is said. Enough is said. Ranbun settles into Tobo's house like she owns the place. Rambu's with her more often than not, cooing or carefully petting her ears with his claws tucked into fists. And Tobo doesn't think of it as endearing. He doesn't. As colors change, as the seasons begin to turn cold. Some days, Rambu goes to school with him, sinking into the shadows and muttering sarcastic remarks that make Tobo bite back laughter. Some days, they share a body, and their thoughts grow closer. It's an odd feeling. Tobo's gone a long time thinking that if people knew him, knew all of him, they would leave. But Rambu doesn't. And as the weather worsens, Tobo finds he likes Rambu. He likes spending time with them. Likes the way their laugh crackles like TV static or how they hit their head against the ceiling. It's more than just a childhood fascination with the supernatural now. They're friends. Rambu has wormed his way into Tubbo's life, and he finds he doesn't really mind. The sentiment is not shared, though. You're always with that demon bitch, Tommy complains, from where he's lying face down on his bed. Tubbo sits next to him, a laptop perched on his calves, and gives the wild mop of Tommy's hair a distracted pat. A YouTube video is blaring at full volume through the room, a conspiracy involving the government and succulents and technology in your brain. He's everywhere, Tommy goes on, like a disease, like a fucking virus or something. I feel stalked. Attacked, big man, attacked. Sure, Toms, Tobo says. Have you finished your project? Have I? No, of fucking course I haven't, God. I'm here talking about a very serious issue, bearing my heart to you, and you're here asking about my English essay? Tobo hums. It's due tomorrow, boss man. Tommy groans, swinging a hand out that narrowly misses his laptop. Fuck, he says. Fuck. I told you to start earlier. Tommy just grumbles, inaudible, and Tobo finally pauses his video. The two of them are sitting in Tommy's room. Even with the setting sun outside, the bright red paint and crooked posters seem to keep the place alight. There are books scattered about, piles of clothes and dishes, and one of Wilbur's guitar leaning precariously against a wall. But it was home. Sometimes it still feels like home, like days of sleeping on the floor and climbing through windows just to spend one more moment together. One more second. Things are different now. The door is cracked open, and he can hear Phil and Wilbur shuffling around in the kitchen. He snuck in through the back door and to get in here. Things are awkward, and hurt crackles on despite the prank. Wilbur went slightly viral because of it, mostly jokes at his expense, but Tommy says he's been taking it well. And he remains convinced there was a demon in the house with him. If there is one thing to be said about Wilbur Soot, it's that he never gives up. It's too bad stubbornness doesn't win wars. It's too bad they kick out one of their top fucking researchers. And Tobo closes his laptop with a sigh. Listen, Tobo nudges Tommy with his foot. We're still best friends, Toms. You know that, right? Tommy turns to face him. He avoids Tobo's eyes. Tommy, Tobo starts. It just doesn't feel like it sometimes, Tommy snaps. Sometimes it's like your best friend is that stupid fucking graveyard. And I just... There's a knock on the door, and Tommy cuts himself off, heaving himself up. Forget it, he says, and they don't bring up these things, don't apologize, so Tobo stays quiet, even with the tightness in his chest. I'll get the door. He disappears down the stairs. The shadows shift in the resounding silence. You should talk to him, Rambu whispers. Tobo stands, running a hand through his hair. Two glowing eyes watch him from under a cluttered desk. It's fine. Tommy and I are fine. We always are. If anything, you should talk to him. Rambu huffs. Last time I talked to him, he stabbed me with a knife. Don't be dramatic. It was plastic. It was still hurtful. Tobo! Tommy yells from downstairs. Rambu chirps and disappears. I think you might want to see this. Sighing, Tobo flips off the desk Rambu's under before he, too, makes his way down. Pictures line the Watson staircase. He remembers his bad nights, staring them down, imagining them different. It was stupid. Now Tebow avoids eye contact with the smiling faces, taking the steps two at a time. Tommy is standing, gaping at the door. And when Tebow slows down to a stop next to him, his jaw drops too. Holy mother of shit, Tommy breathes. Hello to you as well. Technoblade, the blood god, drawls back from where he's leaning against the wall. He flashes his two sharp teeth, a glint of metal in the pocket of his jacket. I believed I owed a payment. Tebow stares. Technoblade is even more intimidating, lit by dusk, and the sunset casts bloody shadows along his face. There are bandages wrapped around his palms, a redness to his eyes he seems to revel in. The supernatural do not appreciate liars, and with the tang of iron in the air, Tebow doesn't much want to learn how Technoblade got his title. Tebow says, helpful, and he points at a sticker, bright blue against the window. No soliciting. Technoblade raises an eyebrow. In response, Tebow slowly, begins to nudge the door closed. Tell them we don't want any more Girl Scout cookies, Wilbur calls from the kitchen. Technoblade raises his other eyebrow. You guys must get some weird Girl Scouts around here, he says. He jams a boot in the doorframe. The wind buffets his pink hair, sending the loose strands from his braid blowing into his face. No, I was promised a few highly deadly explosives. I still can't believe you did that, Tommy murmurs, blinking away his shock. Desperate times, desperate measures. It was a deal, Technoblade insists, and his eyes flash red. The slope of his face is indistinguishable from an actual human. But there is something there, a primal fear that curls up Tebow's throat. Wind, that sounds a bit too much like a scream. Tommy swears under his breath, before pushing in front of Tebow, arms crossed. Listen here, you emo-ass bastard. Why don't you put the dramatics on hold and go harass some other kids? Technoblade blinks. I recall you harassing me first. Didn't happen, Tommy says, stubborn. You are a creep that is talking to children. Not very cool, big man. Not very pog. Now, if you'll excuse us. Tommy tries to force the door closed. Technoblade doesn't budge, though he's looking more and more done with this conversation. I just want that bomb. Techno? A voice calls from behind them, bewildered. Tebow spins around. Holy fuck, mate, is that you? Phil? The wind dies down. Phil stands, one hand against the wall, one hand holding a mug with Number One Dad written in Sharpie on the side. Tebow shifts back, trying in vain to hide the literal demon behind him, but it's no use. Explanations and excuses blur in his mind. He takes a step forward, because as much as Techno is stressing him the fuck out, he doesn't want him dead. And Phil's face breaks out into a grin. He doesn't pull out a weapon. Despite being a fucking demon hunter with a demon right in front of him, he only laughs, setting his mug on the ground, and walks past Tebow and Tommy. He pulls Technoblade into a hug. Technoblade, whose eyes have dimmed into a muddy red and is failing to hide a grin, hugs back. What the fuck? Tebow thinks. He locks eyes with Tommy. What the literal fuck? Tommy says with a groan. Phil and Techno have started chatting like old friends. Phil's inviting him inside, and as Tebow catches his gaze, his eyes flash crimson. This isn't over, he seems to say. Tebow tries to slink back up the stairs. Tebow, Phil says. Nice to see you, mate. Come have some tea with us. But there's no escape. And as he walks into the kitchen, he swears the shadows laugh.